Well, there's no doubt that next week's budget is going to be very home buyer friendly. The Turnbull government's made it clear that tackling the housing affordability crisis is one of its biggest priorities. And today we're hearing that they're considering letting first home buyers withdraw money from their super for a deposit on the condition that they pay it back later. Now, they'd also be required to save more quickly for deposits by having their pay directed into superannuation-like accounts. But common sense says that this isn't going to help them in the long run. Like, it's a minor quick fix solution. Now, Grace Collier weighed in on the debate in the Australian newspaper over the weekend and wrote superbly on the subject and proved that even low income earners on welfare can break into the market. And she joins me on the line right now. Grace Collier, it's been far too long.
Hi, Chris. Hi.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Now, you wrote about two examples in your column about your friend's young daughter compared to your gardener's daughter. Now, make the comparison for our listeners, and then I think the audience will understand exactly what you mean.
So my friend's young daughter has been to exclusive private school, university, now working part-time, thinking of doing the second degree, and, you know, getting into the mid-20s, no property, no house, no hope in sight, and terribly depressed. My gardener's two young daughters didn't go to private schools, didn't go to university. They just work in normal jobs, and they're in relationships with tradies. All of those kids have houses, and they're actually younger. So, you know, they're in their very early 20s and they're younger. And this is just something I see everywhere. What I see is this housing affordability. It's almost more, I know we don't have classes in Australia, but it's more of a class thing.
Yeah.
And I think people really need to consider spending too much time at university. They also need to consider, do I really need this degree? Will it give me a good job? Yeah. Or is it just going to delay my financial maturity? Is it going to delay me getting into the housing market? Would it be better to get a job for a while, buy a house and study later on once I know what I want to do?
Let me guess, the difference between those two daughters was lifestyle as well?
Of course it's lifestyle. Of course it's lifestyle. I mean, the kids who have houses buy them out in the outer suburbs in Dandenong and Cranbourne and all of these places that these middle-class kids wouldn't even drive through those suburbs, let alone buy a house in them.
Yeah. And in terms of travel, let me guess that the ones that don't have the houses have done extensive travelling?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
What about gap years? They had gap years too?
Oh, yes, gap years.
Yes, got to have gap year.
Oh, yes, she's had a gap year, I think. I've got one friend his daughter has a gap, is having a gap year to deal with the stress of doing a humanities degree. It's so stressful.
Right.
She has to have a gap year off.
Yeah. Everyone is quick to blame government for not fixing the problem. We talk about the state government not creating enough supply. We talk about the federal government not doing enough in terms of special grants or loans for first home buyers. We even talk about the Reserve Bank not adjusting interest rates properly. But at the end of the day, from what I remember my parents did, they shut up shop in terms of their lifestyle, in terms of travel, in terms of spending, and they got a house nice and early.
Of course. Look, there is no doubt that taxes and red tape push up the cost of housing enormously, right? But every time you squeal for government to do something and then government gets involved, guess what? They stuff it up and they'll take the money out of the economy somewhere.
Yeah.
So every time they try and solve a problem, they'll do it by raising taxes somewhere else, which in turn makes something more expensive along the line. So yes, look, housing in Australia is ridiculously expensive, I agree. It is artificially inflated because of government regulation, because of taxes, I agree with that. But if you bring this down to individuals and their personal financial future, what are you going to do? Are you going to just sit and whinge, or are you going to get in as early as you can and make the sacrifice so that later on when you're older, you're not poor and homeless?
So what's your
to be a pensioner renting on the, it's very difficult.
Yeah. So what's your message to, say, parents and, say, 20-somethings listening? You write, they should leave their pride at the door. How do you mean that?
Well, look, there's a lot of whinging about housing affordability, but the fact is that the people on welfare can buy houses and the working poor can buy houses. There's plenty of evidence for that, and they are big investors in the market. So people who are poor use negative gearing to get into the market. They buy a house and rent it out because they actually couldn't afford to live in it. Plenty of people do that. Most of us, unless we're very lucky, most of us start out poor in life. And you've got to start at the bottom. And you might have to buy in a regional area, or you might have to buy a dumpy little apartment somewhere, you know, out in the sticks, or, yep, or a tiny thing. Just buy something, buy anything when you can. And you'll be surprised at how quickly time goes by. And then all of a sudden 5 years have passed and it's gone up. And then you can go on to the next house and the next one. The other thing I'd say to the young people, for God's sakes, think about ROI, return on investment at university. Please don't, if you don't know what you want to do in life, don't go to university and just bum around and rack up a huge hex debt. Because then you'll be miserable in your mid-20s with a huge debt. You won't have a job. You'll be confused and resentful. I think the thing to do is if you don't know what you want to do, just go and get a job and work, and then perhaps do a degree later in life.
Which is easily available at most of the universities. It's interesting too. We have a shortage of tradies, Grace. As you know, having moved into this new house of yours and getting renovations done, there is such a shortage of tradies out there. And yet it seems as if the reason is because it's not too fashionable when kids leave school to become a tradie.
So we went through a horror renovation that went on for 18 months. But in the course of that, I probably met 30-odd tradies. 20 of them were young. We always become friends with our tradies because, you know, you've got to keep them happy, you've got to treat them well, and you feed them and you look after them and you pay them the same day you get the invoice, and then they'll always turn up. And so we got to know many of these kids, and they've all got two or three houses and they're all very happy. And honestly, if I had a son, unless that son was hell-bent on becoming a doctor or a dentist or, you know, doing a degree that actually would lead to a job, I would probably prefer them to be a plumber or an electrician, because they will be quite well off by the time they're 30.
Yeah.
And that's what we... I mean, that's what we see. I mean, you know, these people, they might not live in mansions in Toorak or, you know, but they're very well off, let me tell you.
Yeah, good stuff. It's a good wake-up call, I think, as opposed to sitting around whinging and waiting for government to fix your problems. Grace, thank you very much. Always good to catch up.
Cheers, Chris.